Okay, Parshas Shoftim. You guys ready to roll? Can you hear me? Can you hear everything? Am I talking? You can hear me? Yeah? Good. Okay, great. Okay, great. Parshas Shoftim continues with some of the halachic discourse that Moshe kind of launched into last week. Some halachas that we're familiar with from earlier parts of the Torah, and some of them are new. Just a quick rundown. First thing talks about Jewish judges and Jewish courts. Don't bring a korban if it has a mum. Moshe reiterates that someone who worships avodah zarah is chayav misa. There's a halacha of a rav who rebels against the psak of the Sanhedrin. We have a long list of halachas of a Jewish king. He's not allowed too many wives. He's not allowed to take the nation down back to Egypt to get horses. He has to keep a sefer Torah with him at all times, which we'll talk about today. Moshe goes over the matanos for Kohen and Levi, but the matanos kahuna and leviya, the gifts that the Kohanim and the Leviim get. Don't listen to false prophets. Shekosh Baruch Hu will send Neviim. Ir Miklat, again, that we talked about. If someone kills Bishogeg with negligence, he can run to a city designated for that. The halachas of an Eid Zomim, if someone testifies falsely or plans on and schemes to try and get somebody either killed or to pay money or whatever it is. A lot of halachas of Jewish warfare. For example, someone who is either bought something new, like bought a new house, a new field, married a new wife, they're exempt. If you're afraid, you're exempt. If you're some nations, you're allowed to offer, you know, peace and a treaty. Other nations have to be destroyed. Fascinating halacha of cutting down fruit trees. You're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. And where the couple of psukim over there, which I'm not going to talk about later, but just to mention it now, a couple of psukim over there probably are the makor for the minhag of an upshirin, because the pasuk says ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, man is like a tree of the field, and like there's a 3-year moratorium on eating fruit from a tree. Sorry, that's already, I feel like I shouldn't mention that without explaining it, but we should go on to other things. And finally, the halacha of Egla Arufa, which we will talk about, a very strange halacha. If you find a dead body and you don't know who killed him, so they take well, we'll explain it later. We'll talk about that for the last thing. Okay, but either way, let's go to the beginning of the puzzle, of the parsha. Torah says, Shoftim the Shotrim, Titin lecha b'chol sha'arecha. You should give, you should put judges, and Shotrim are policemen, which we'll talk about in a second. You should put in all your cities. You have to have a system of law and order, basically. That's the Pashup Shah, and those are the halachos. But as we've explained, right, certainly the Chassidish Rebbes, but definitely also the Litvish Rebbes, have used Sefer Dvarim to teach us Musar. And certainly nowadays, when we're in Chodesh Elul, and we have a cycle where we always read Parsha Shoftim in the middle of Elul, the Chazal have basically taken the halachic words of Sefer Dvarim and used them to teach us Musar. Right, again, we'll see next week's parsha. The parsha's Kisetze. The pasuk says Kisetze lemachal ma'lo evecha. You go out to war against your enemy, and Chazal are going to explain that it's your personal enemy. It's the Yetzer Hara. Right, again, the Chazal, as the Nesivos Shalom explains, etc., etc. So the Torah certainly is basically trying to convey a certain halachic message. That's for sure. The basic understanding, the basic message of the Torah. But the Torah is eternal, and it's the words and the choice of language certainly is eternal, and it definitely also speaks to us in a musardic way. And therefore, there's a fascinating shmooze that by Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, right, Rosh Yeshiva Lemire, came from Chicago, right? I always forget if he went to Skokie Yeshiva or Ida Crown. I think he went to Ida Crown. All right, anyway. But ended up being the Rosh Yeshiva Lemire. It's a fascinating dig at the beginning of the Parsha. He said, Parsha says you have to set up courts, Beis Din, in all your cities. Wonderful. What's the point of the policeman? What's the point of the Shotrim? Right? Shoftim v'shotrim titin lecha b'chol sha'arecha. What's the point? You should just said set up Beis Din, set up judges. What do you need the Shotrim? Right? A Shoter in modern English is a cop. Right? If you ever get pulled over, you say, Kvod HaShoter, or whatever, I don't know. You make nice to the Shoter. It's a cop. What do you need a cop for? That's what Rashi says, right? Rashi says, what are Shotrim? Harodim es ha'am, achar mitzvosam, people who run after the nation to keep the mitzvos. Shemakin v'kofsim b'makel v'ritzua, they would hit people, right? They force people, right, with the stick and the whip. Adshi kabbalah loves adin ha'shofet, until they accept the judgment of the Beis Din. Says there's nothing to be difficult, I don't understand. Right? You go to court, and you lose. So what are you going to do? You're not going to pay? Right? What do you need a policeman for? Right? You had a whole din Torah, and then the judge decided for your friend. So people are not going to pay. So yeah. So Nathan Zvi Finkel says, yeah, man's nature is not to listen. Right? Man's nature, even if he's told by the Beis Din, by the Sanhedrin, by the Gadol Hador, by his Rebbe, by the Rav of the Shul, even if he's told, man's nature is not to listen. Right? Man's nature is to be porik olos, to throw off, right, the yoke of Torah, Yiras Shemayim, whatever it is. So you need shotrim, you need policemen to enforce, right, the judgment of the judges. Says Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, extending it into the world of Musar, we have judges nowadays also. Right, not necessarily in court, hopefully not, but our Rabbanim, our Gedolim, our role models, sometimes our Chaverim, the people who guide us in the right direction, those are our Shoftim. And what you see from here, that just like a person might not necessarily listen to Beis Din, even after they told him that he's chayav to pay, or that he has to, you know, do X, Y, and Z, so too, a person might not necessarily listen to the Rav or the Chevra or whatever. Right? You cannot rely on yourself. Right, a person is enu yokol lismokol atzmo. You can't rely on yourself, even for the simple stuff. Even if the rabbi just told you what the halacha is, right? Very often, as we all know, right, a person is liable to ignore or decide for themselves what the halacha is, right? Just like we have shoftim, Baruch Hashem, we have very wonderful role models and teachers and rabbanim, but we need the shotrim, we need the cops, if you will, right, to make sure we keep ourselves on the right path. You need your own personal policeman to make sure you're staying on the right path. And even more than that, sometimes it's not related to the negative at all. Right? Sometimes it's not related to Isser. Right? Sometimes a person has great inspiration. Right? You start learning the Daf Yomi, you start doing a chesed, you take on a certain halacha, you're more careful with Shabbos, Tznius, Kashrus, whatever. And at the beginning, you're amazing. But as time goes by, right, a week, a month, etc., so the dedication obviously starts to wane. Says Nosson Zvi Finkel, a person needs policemen for that as well. Person also needs shotrim for that, to keep themselves on the same path, to keep make sure you have the same fervor as before. The Chinuch writes on this pasuk, right, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the purpose of the shotrim was to make sure that people had proper awe and respect of the courts, right, to make sure that they have the proper habits and a culture of listening to the Rabbanim and Beis Din, etc. While playing to that nowadays, we need to have that as well. We need to have the same respect and awe and appreciation for either Rabbanim or the halakhas that we're trying to improve ourselves on. You have to have the proper yira and respect for what we're doing. So what are, right now that I just, you know, spent 3 minutes talking about how we need to have policemen in our lives, that does not mean you should go turn yourself in, right? What are the shotrim that you need nowadays, right? What are the thing or things that'll keep us inspired and help keep us, you know, A, inspired, and B, not straying away from what our Rabbanim tell us, you know, because of our, you know, natural inclination. So that, says Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, is a Seder Musar. That learning us a Musar Sefer, or learning a Musar, having some sort of shmooze, whether it's once a week or once a day, right, for a couple of minutes, learning Musar, in addition to learning all the other things that a person learns and does or whatever, that's what will keep a person straight. That's what will give a person any inspiration. It'll keep a person on the right path. Right? It'll reinforce that's the policeman that we have nowadays. Right? Learning Musar in a consistent manner gives you both aspects. Right? You get, first of all, a person you can understand what's happening if you live in a Hefker world, if you're just porikol, if you just throw Olmocho Shemayim at the window, right? If you just ignore everything and live according to our physical desires, so then Musar teaches us what'll happen. The person will, it's a disaster. Through Musar as well, you're able to keep the fire burning. You're able to keep the inspiration going. And finally, you're able to get your habits in order. So, right, to break some bad habits is necessary, but to refine the good ones and to keep a proper perspective and respect and awe and kavod for what we're dealing with. So it's crucial to have, right, Baruch Hashem, for those who come to we do Mesillas Yesharim once a week, a weekly Musar Seder. If you have a daily Musar Seder, that's even better, right? Whether it's a Shir, whether it's a Harusa, maybe something, reading something on your own. It doesn't have to be a Sefer. It could be something in English. But it's so important. Getting emails from, inspiration or whatever, meaningful people going. There are plenty of inspiring Jewish podcasts, Jewish Instagram pages, right? Meaningful People, if you need a recommendation. Meaningful People is great. 1840 is great. I forget, there are a couple other ones. It's obviously better to have one of the classics for him, but even if you're just driving back and forth and you have some sort of Musar that you can listen to, fabulous. It's so important to keep a person oriented. It's not only in addition to the Torah that you're learning, right? Just to keep your person oriented, it's like going to a chiropractor, right? Do you really need to go to the chiropractor? Yeah, to keep your spine straight. Right? That's kind of crucial. People kind of don't do that, but that's the Musar Seder. And even more crucial, says Rav Nosson Tzvi, nowadays in Elul, right? We mentioned last week, right? That Elul starts off with a bang, and people get very excited. Take on this halacha, that halacha, improve this or that or whatever. By the time Rosh Hashanah rolls around, right, you've completely forgotten, right? You haven't done anything, right? So learning Musar, right, in a consistent manner keeps you focused, right? It makes it so Rosh Hashanah doesn't creep up on you, right? And for someone who's not yet focused, maybe you're not yet motivated, you haven't had the headspace to think about Elul, Rosh Hashanah is a month away, haven't thought about it. So yeah, Musar puts that into your heart. Musar arouses, right, the awareness in your heart of the necessary, you know, you have to really start paying attention, right? It's time to check it out. You realize what you're missing, and hopefully that'll help you think harder about putting in the efforts this time of year. Along the same lines, the Parsha is filled with Yesodos in Tshuva, right? The Parsha is filled with psukim about judgment, right? About, Pasuk says, Shoftim v'shotrim, right? Set up Beis Dins, right? V'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek, right? Judge the nation in a truthful judgment, right? In a righteous judgment. Lo sateh mishpat, don't pervert judgment. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, run after righteousness and judgment and stuff like that, right? Again, the Parsha is filled with these type of statements. And as we said, the Rebbe's understand that the Torah is eternal, and it's not coincidental that these psukim are coming now instead of in, like, I don't know, February or whatever. So Rav Melech Biderman quotes the Avodas Yisrael, the Kuznetzer Rebbe, died in about the beginning of the 1800s, I think. Right, so he points this out, and he says that a person, right, again, obviously Beis Din has to judge favorably, but if you're, again, taking this to our own personal lives, we also have to judge ourselves honestly, right? Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Lo sateh mishpat. Do not pervert judgment, right? Judge righteously, judge properly. And if you're conveying that to a personal message, we have to judge ourselves honestly, because sometimes we kind of like lie to ourselves, right? We know Kadosh Baruch Hu's judgment coming up on Rosh Hashanah, that's going to be emes, that's going to be straight. Right, so we have to be real with ourselves and look honestly at ourselves as well. Right? Lo sateh mishpat, right? Don't blind yourself to your own faults. Right? Don't think that your averus are not a big deal, or that they're actually mitzvos, or that you're more righteous than you actually are. Unfortunately, you have to do a deep dive and really think, right? And not just coast through Elul. Rav Melech has an amazing pshat of the Bnei Yisachar. Right? The Bnei Yisachar, I'm not normally into this stuff. I'm not normally into this stuff at all. I'm not a big gematria guy, but once in a while, you know, you find a gematria that's like, ah, that's fair, that's pretty good. So the pasuk says, "Ki satzor el ir yamim rabim li lachem aleh lefsafsa." That the actual context of the pasuk is, you'll go out to war and you will go lay siege to a city for many days to fight against it, to conquer it. Says the Bnei Yisachar, the parable is that the Yitzhara is the one who has laid siege to our minds and our bodies and our souls, right? Laid siege to us. Right, and he's laid siege to us many days in order to capture it. What is the gematria of ki satzur elir? When you lay siege, tatzur, taf, tzadi, vav, resh. I'll do the quick math for you. It's 696. What's 696? That's the amount of hours that there are in Chodesh Elul. Do the math. 696 divided by 29 days in Elul, always 29 days in Elul, comes out to 24. 24 times 29, 696 hours in Chodesh Elul. Right? We have these 696 hours to fight off the siege of the Yetzer Hara. That's the Bnei Yisachar. And it's time to get to work. And Tachlis, right? Elul is time to get to work. Right? Don't push it off until Rosh Hashanah is right around the corner. Right? Rav Chatzka Levenstein, who's the Mashkiach of the Mir, when it traveled from Belarus, Lithuania, and to Shanghai. Right, if you ever heard that story, if you haven't heard that story, you should look it up. It's a super cool story. Anyway, the Mir, what made that crazy thing to run away from the Holocaust, ended up in Shanghai. Rav Chatzka was the Mashgiach. He used to give a mashal, and I don't know which country this is. It would fascinate me to find out which country it was. But apparently in one of the countries they ended up in, there used to be a fine for leaving your courtyard, or your chatzer, as they call it in Israel, right? Your courtyard or your front lawn, let's say, to leaving it dirty, because it took away from the beauty of the city. So obviously, Baruch Hashem, a Jewish family with lots of kinderlach running around, it's not so easy to keep the premises clean. So apparently, as the way the story goes is that, you know, the city used to send around people to inspect. The inspectors would come around, right, to see who's got their courtyard dirty. So there used to be a Jew that would run and scream, Yindelach, Kinderlach, Yindelach, right? And when that guy was coming, and the Jews would know to run out and quickly either clean up. I guess, you know, they were able to do it quicker. I don't know why they'd do it in the original, the Chachila, but he basically ran around screaming, Jews, 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 and then they would know that they would have to go clean up the neighborhood a little bit. So that says Rav Chatzko, that's the mashal, the shofar that we blow in Chodesh Elul. We just started blowing shofar. It's screaming, hey, Jews, Jews, Yindelach, Yindelach, go clean your courtyards. Like, go fix up your property. There's a bit more of an adorable mashal that Ramelech tells. I don't know if you'll be able to relate to it so much because it's really only in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's if you go to shul, so they don't just have the air on all day; it's too expensive. So basically, what they have is they have a little machine that you can put a couple shekel in, and then it'll turn on the air conditioner. Let's say 5 shekel. So 5 shekel will get you, I don't know, half an hour. So at the end of the half an hour, so it starts making a beeping sound. And not beeping for like 3 seconds. It's like a full minute of and it's extremely annoying. And you can imagine if you're in the middle of mincha and you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden and no one's going to move because they're davening. It's really, really annoying. So that's the beeping, says Rav Melech. That's the warning that a person should hear when he hears the shofar. It's the air conditioning is about to get off, right? It's about to get much less comfortable in here. But the AC is about to go off. It's about to get really hot. He doesn't say it like this, but Gehenim is coming. Right? You can use your imagination. Right? That's the mashal he wants to give. Right? That in Elul we got to move it. Right? And we know that even though it's kind of scary that Elul is close to Rosh Hashanah, but Kosh Baruch Hu is with us. Right? We know Elul is Ani L'Dodi L'Dodi Li. That's Rashi Tevos. That Hashem is close to us. Hamelech Basada. It's a tremendous gift that Kosh Baruch Hu gives us this month of tshuva as we try to return to ourselves. Pasuk says in this week's parsha, right? Again, right before next week's parsha, has another phrase about going out to war. Kisetele melchama loivecha, right? You go out to war against your enemy. For Ra'isa sus vorechev am rav mimcha, right? You see a nation with horses and chariots, a huge nation that's much bigger than you. Lo tira mehem, don't fear them. Kishem elokach imach, because God is with you. Hamalcham eres mitzrayim, who took you out from Egypt, says the Orachayim. Again, in classic Hasidic Rebbe style, this is talking about the war against the Yetzer Hara. Right? It's your own personal enemy. You'll go out to war al oivecha, on your enemy, and you'll see that he's super powerful. He's got horses, he's got chariots, he's got great hosts, he's got much more than you, much more strength than you do. So lo tira mehem, don't be afraid of them. Right? Ki Hashem elokecha imach, because God is with you. Who is God? Hamalcham Eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt. Shem took us out of the yuck and the muck and the culture and the gashmis and the arayas and the avodah zarah. All that stuff from Egypt. Don't worry, Hashem will take you out of your own personal Egypt as well. Says the Orachayim, right? In a chanami, that if we were left to our own devices, it would be way too hard for us to get out of it. But Hashem is help, right? Hashem is here to help us. Hashem helps us during Elul, right? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is our own mikveh, and He'll take us out. Rav Melech quotes the tzaddikim. Which, whenever the Rav Melech quotes the tzaddikim, you know he's just too humble to say that it's his pshat. But he says tzaddikim pirshu, that the tzaddikim explain, right? Meaning that he came up with it himself. But the pasuk says los at the end, los akim lecha matzeva asher sanei l'shem lokecha. Don't set up for yourself a matzeva, which is a statue or whatever that Hashem hates. Don't set up a statue or a fixed kind of stone altar or stone type of thing. That's what, because Hashem hates that. Says Rav Melech, don't be like a statue, right? Don't be unable to move, right? Because that's, Hashem hates that, right? A person is always able to move, right? No matter how hard it is, a person is always able to grow, right? If you think that you can't grow, you can't move, that's a avodah zarah. That's a matseva, right? You're sticks and stones, you cannot grow, you cannot move. Hashem hates that. Don't give up. Kosh Baruch Hu's got your back. You can always do tshuva. You can always accomplish in Elul. Rav Melech quotes a mashal of a guy who needed to get into a high security facility. Right? And the gates are locked. It's the middle of the night. The place is locked down. So the guy calls out to the gatekeeper, and all of a sudden the gates open. Right? So the guy thinks, what do you think? If you're looking from the outside, you don't know better. It's some incredible Hulk in the back ripping open these metal gates. But really, what it is, it's just sitting there. It's just a dude with a button. He's just pushing the button, gates open. And that, says Rav Melech, is our ticket, right? The gates to heaven are barred, right? High security walls, gates, the works, right? Security system, videos, etc. we have a couple of buttons, right? Kosh Baruch Hu was blessed us with a couple of buttons, Torah, Tshuva, those are our buttons, right? It seems like an impossible task. There's no way you could do it physically, humanly. You couldn't rip open those gates by yourself, but Kosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. He gave us Torah, he gave us Tshuva, he gave us Tefillah, right? We have a couple of buttons that we can push to open up the gates, right, in Shemayim. Okay, switching gears over here to the halakos of a king. The pasuk says, Perek Yudayin, pasuk Yudches. Let me just find it because I have it in a 1 second. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk says about a king. A lot of halakos about a king. The pasuk says, "Vayakishivto al kisim al mlachto." When the king sits on his throne. The cost of law is Mishnah Torah is also safer than the Kohanim HaLevim. He has to write a safer Torah. The Haisai Mo, it has to be with him. The Karabo Kol Yimei Chayav, he has to read right, his entire life. L'man Yilmad, in order so that he should learn. L'yiraz Hashem Alokav, to fear Hashem. The Shmor is called the Vrei HaTorah Azos, to keep the entire Torah. Es HaChukim Ha'ila Lazar Sam, and to keep all of the Chukim, to keep all of the laws. So, The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, right? It works off the Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph, works off this pasuk and explains that the king actually had two Torahs. I'm sorry, right? One that stayed in the palace, and one that was a type of like an amulet almost, right? That he carried with him right, wherever he went. Now, what was the point of that? Right, that to have a mini Torah. So basically, the Gemara explains, right, that again, theoretically, you would have thought that he could just have one at home when he learns, right? The pasuk says he needs a Torah to learn, right? So in Echanami, I get it. Okay, fine. Right? It's a famous Shweki song, Ashrei Misha Talmudu Biyado. It's good. It's great that someone has, his Torah with them. But like, you could just talk this. You could have read it, left the Torah at home, and have his Sforim on the bookshelf, and when he comes home, he could learn from it. What's the point for him to carry around the Sefer Torah all with him? So it says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, right, there's an additional mitzvah here for the king. Right? In addition to reading and learning from the Torah, there's an additional halacha that it's also for him to have hesach hadas, for him to remove his mind, for him to space out, for him to have a distraction from the Torah at any point. Right? He has to be fully focused on the Torah at all times, so much so that the Gemara there in Sanhedrin has a special drasha, has a special teaching to tell me that the king shouldn't take the Torah into the bathroom. Why would you ever think the king should take the Torah with him into the bathroom? Right? Why in the world would you think that? We don't take tefillin into the bathroom. So that's the idea, that he's not allowed to lose track of the Torah and its values for any moment, to the point where that you would have thought maybe he should even take it into the bathroom with him, and therefore the Gemara had to teach us that he doesn't. Says Rav Nelson Tzvi, the emphasis of the pasuk is the purpose of this halacha, right? Laman yilmad liyiraz Hashem alokav, right? So you should learn to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the Torah is telling us that a crucial aspect of getting Yiras Shamayim, right, of accomplishing in our tshuva process and growing in Torah, is to combat hesach hadas, is to fight against, right, getting distracted, not paying attention, thinking of other things, etc., etc. Right, the easiest example I can give of hesach hadas is in davening. Right, we always are distracted, we always space out, we're never fully focused. Right, on Shmoneh Esrei. Another example is when you're learning, right? Always space out, right? It's very crucial to keep focused, not deviate from whatever you're doing. And there are many chazals that understand, right, underscore the importance of staying focused, of avoiding hesach hadas, of avoiding getting distracted. We've mentioned the Brisa at the beginning of the Ein Yaakov, right? The Ein Yaakov quotes in his introduction to his commentary on the Mishnayos. Big machlokas, what the main pasuk, what the ikar message of the Torah is. And one of the examples over there, as we say, is Ezekev Zachat Tesebe Boker, Ezekev Zachari Tesebe Arabayim. That the Korban Tamid is the ikar of the Torah. The Korban Tamid that was brought every morning and every evening, day in, day out, that's the message of the Eved Hashem, of being an Eved Hashem, is you got to put in the hours. Clock in, clock out, never take a day off. Right? Another example, Chazal gave in the Gemara Megillah, is that the reason that we have Purim in the second Adar, right, as we had this year, as opposed to the first Adar, is because Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. It's better to connect the two Geulas, the Geula, the redemption of Purim and Pesach. It's better to have them back to back, as opposed to having Purim in the first Adar. And the idea is to combine two inspirational holidays, two moments of inspiration, right? It's better, it's good to do that. It's much better to have the inspiration tied and one on the heels of the other. But even more important, says Rav Nathan Tzvi Finkel, than keeping yourself focused between inspirations is keeping yourself focused during inspiration. Right? A person needs to be makbid, a person needs to be careful. Whatever avoda you're doing, right? Whether it's learning, whether it's davening, whether it's chesed, right? Whatever you're doing, it should be done without distraction. Right? How many of us, right, learn, right, with our phones next to us? Right? Every notification, every vibration, right, we check out of the learning that we're doing. Right? Do we put our phones away when we daven? Right? How many of us give our undivided attention to whatever mitzvah you're doing? Right? Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz gives this amazing mashal that's often quoted about keeping a person engaged with whatever mitzvah, davening, whatever, learning what you're doing. If you try to boil a pot of water, says Reb Chaim, right? Let's say you have the fire on for 1 second, then you turn it off. Right? Then you turn it on again, then you turn it off. Right? The water's never going to boil. It's the same thing with Kedusha. Same thing with Avoda. If you got to keep the fire on. You got to stay learning. You got to have the davening be interrupted. It's a super important Kabbalah to take upon yourself. If you haven't figured out what to do during Elul, do that. Right, that you're learning, you're davening, or whatever you're doing should be uninterrupted. Right, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. Train yourself to stay completely focused on whatever you're doing. Right, put the phone on the side, put it on vibrate, etc. If that's what you need, I would suggest, if you need something to work on in Elul, start with that. Right, with the Dvarim Shebe Kedusha when you're doing learning Torah. Right, for example, making sure you do it uninterrupted. All right, the last thing we'll talk about happens to be the last thing in the parsha. The parsha of Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa, very strange halacha. Basically, what happens is that a person, Rachman al-Tlan, you find a dead body in the middle of nowhere, and no one knows who killed him. That's the pasuk says, Lo noda mi'ikahu. So basically, they measure the distances between cities, and the city that's closest to it, right, the Beis Din of that city, right, basically goes out and takes a cow, and they break its neck, right, by the nachal, by the river. And they say, just to quote the psukim at the end, the psukim in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Vav, basically they say, the Beis Din and the Rabbanim from the city that's closest to the dead body, the pasuk says, poetically, they wash their hands, right, of this dead body. And they say, right, we didn't spill this blood. Right, and we didn't see what happened. Hashem, right, atone for this Am Yisrael. It's almost as if we're blaming the Beis Din for this guy's death. And it's the obvious question. And the Gemara and Sota and Daf Mem Vav asked this question: are you really? You're talking what? Beis Din has to be like we didn't kill him. These are the greatest tzaddikim in the city. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Beis Din comes out with a cow and breaks its neck and says, "No, it's not our fault." What's going on over here? So explains the Gemara. Yeah, Beis Din's at fault. Why? Because Beis Din should have sent this guy out of town with an escort, with a companion. Right? Undoubtedly, obviously, this guy was traveling alone, right? And he ended up suffering his demise because of it. Beis Din should have sent him with some sort of accompaniment. Except that doesn't really answer the question. Right? How does that help? Right? What kind of answer is that? What if there was an army of bandits? Right, there are 15 guys came upon this one guy. So if you sent them with a companion, so the other guy would also be dead. Right, how does that help? Right, well, the escort would have fended off of 15 guys. So the Maharal on this Gemara answers this question absolutely beautifully and also gives us another message, right, that helps us during Chodesh Elul. Says that there are two concepts at play here. There's the concept of an individual and the concept of a kehila. Says the Maharal, but the Siyata Dishmaya that Klal Yisrael in general gets is greater than the Siyata Dishmaya of an individual. So therefore, when a person leaves the city by himself, right, he isn't given, he's entrusted with a certain level of divine protection. But when he leaves the city with a companion, so now they tap into the Siyata Dishmaya of the group, of the Kahal, of Am Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. Right? That is much more powerful. And that might have saved that guy from death. And that's the big message that we have nowadays, right? That clinging to Klal Yisrael, clinging to a kahal, to a nation, yes, in a chanami, all of us on Rosh Hashanah are judged, right? Very poetically, we say in the Sana Tokef, one by one, like Kosh Baruch Hu passing through sheep. Yes, that's true. But tapping into the kedusha of the group, the kedusha of the kahal of Am Yisrael, person receives a lot more Siyata D'Shmaya, and this concept is found throughout right? You know, Judaic text. Right? The pasuk says in Parshas Bechukosai, right? In the brachos, that if you keep the Torah, the pasuk says v'radfu mekem chamisha me'ao me'ao mekem revavayir dofu. That five will run after in battle, right? Five soldiers will run after 100, and 100 will run after 10,000. Now Rashi asks the obvious question: that math does not work, right? 5 to 100 is one soldier will be able to take 20. 100 to 10,000 is one soldier will be able to take 100. Right? That doesn't work. So says Rashi, that's the power of a group. Right? When you're in a group of five, so you have the ability, right? Each soldier counts for 20. When you're in a group of 100, all of a sudden the soldiers' powers are multiplied. That 100 Jews has a much higher spiritual level, gets much higher Siyata Dishmaya than a group of five Jews. I heard from Rabbi Binyamin Yudin that the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Ches as well is also proof. The pasuk says, "Vani tefilasi elecha Hashem eis ratzon." Right? That when I daven for you, Hashem is an eis ratzon. That's the pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara says, "Emas I eis ratzon." When is it an eis ratzon? B'shash atzibur mispalim. That's the time when Jews are davening together. Betzibur. Tefilah betzibur. When you go to a shul with a minyan, that's when it's an eis ratzon. That's when Hashem definitely listens. And the Brisa says, Rabbi Nassan Omer, minayin she'ina kosh baruch hu mois b'tfilas and shal ravim. How do you know that kosh baruch was not disgusted by the tefillah in a group, of a minyan? Shneamar, right, quotes a pasuk as well, that the kosh baruch hu will listen to the tefillah and loves that does not get disgusted by the tefillah of a minyan. Right? So important to latch on to like-minded people, to go daven in a minyan, to go learn the base medrash. Right? If you have a choice between staying home and going out to learn or do a mitzvah or daven, for sure, go out and do it with other people, right? Definitely tefillah b'tzibur. Right? You know, I heard a fantastic mashal for davening from my computer professor in YU. Ironically, probably the one thing I learned from him. But Professor Zwick said, he said it's like buying a potato. Right? That if you're going to buy one potato, so you inspect the potato, you make sure it's not rotten. But if you're going to buy a bag of potatoes, so you just grab the whole sack. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, if it's a minion, if it's a sack of potatoes, he'll just grab the whole sack. He doesn't look to inspect and see if it's rotten. But if it's one potato, so then he'll check it out. All right, I thought it was pretty good. But Taklas is, then again, in Elul, it's crucial to stick to growth-oriented people. Again, make sure you use this Koach HaTzibur, the Koach of like-minded individuals, to beef yourselves up in Yiras Shamayim and influence you in the proper way. Right? Again, learning by yourself is amazing, but doing it in a group is even more powerful. Right? Take advantage of that Koach HaTzibur, right? Because we know that Kosh Baruch Hu gives us even more Siyata Dishmaya in that manner. All right, everybody have a tremendous Shabbos, and we'll see you with Hashem next week.